This week on Journey Through the Word at Horizon Indy, Bill Goodrich takes us through Ephesians 6, 5 through 9, and a message entitled, Believing Slaves and Masters Are to Walk Under God's Authority.
And if you remember, for those that are here, we've gone through, we did chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, and looked at over 50 blessings that are ours. And so we are to be seated in that. We are to understand that truth. We understand who we are because of Christ Jesus, but then these truths are ours. It's a wonderful principle that we see in Scripture, that we see a truth, we see the Word speaks to that truth, and then we get the privilege of applying that to our lives in such a way that it becomes ours. So Paul said, here's over 50 blessings that are ours, but we have a responsibility and the privilege to make them our own. And so we looked at that. Go to chapter 4 now in Ephesians, the second part, which we are wrapping up today. Notice in verse 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you, were called. And so he starts that whole thing out, and he's gone all the way to chapter 6, verse 9, and revealing us to us 10 ways that we are to walk as Christians. We are to live our lives. There's many more than 10 ways, obviously, but he emphasizes that. And so if you'll remember, the first one we saw, that we are to be as Christians and we are to walk in unity. It's important that we would be in unity in our church, in our homes, wherever it is that we strive for unity. The second thing we saw was the believer is to walk using his or her gifts. You and I are gifted by God. We're made fearfully and wonderfully, Scripture tells us, very distinctly and very uniquely, and he gives us gifts, and it's important that those gifts are used in the body of Christ. And so third, we looked at the fact that we are to walk differently than those in the world. People are to recognize us. They may not understand who we are, but they are to recognize that something's different. We get approached at school or we get approached at work, something that's inappropriate, you know, and we don't join in. Right away, they're going to know, why is that? Something's different. And so we are to whet their appetite because we're in love with the Lord and we live our lives unto the Lord, and hopefully they would desire what they see in our lives. Fourthly, we saw in chapter 4, the believer is to walk putting off the garment of the old man and putting on the garment of the new man. I believe that should be done daily, but it's done once and for all. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we take off the old man when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we put on the new man when we accept the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And we are to be reminded of that daily. That's who we are now. We are the new creation. This is who we are in Christ Jesus. Then Paul went on to say the believer is to walk following God. Of course we're to do that, but he there in chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, he reminded us that we are to imitate God. That's who we imitate. The believer is to walk as a child of light. In Ephesians chapter 5, we saw that. The believer is to walk carefully and strictly. We are to be very careful about our life with the Lord. We are to be under self-control. We're to be disciplined in all that we do in that way. Then recently, we looked at the believing wife and husband are to walk in a spirit of submission, love, and respect. That's very, very important, foundational. We studied in Genesis chapter 2 that God called man to be a gardener and a guard, and woman to be a woman of respect and to be a helpmate in a beautiful sense. We talked about that. And then last week we saw believing children and parents are to walk under God's authority. So Paul finishing out this section that we have that we will complete today when we get to verse 9, this whole section, 10 different ways that we are to walk with the Lord as Christians. And as you see there on the screen, again, believing slaves and masters are to walk under God's authority. Now, slaves and masters don't relate to us all that well. Praise the Lord that we don't have in our society slaves and slave masters. So how does it apply? We go as we go through this, excuse me, we understand the teaching and the interpretation. It was important to those back then when Paul sent this letter to those in Ephesus. We see that so they would understand. Again, millions and millions of people were slaves. Then they had become Christians. And when they became Christians, what are they to do? Are they to seek to be free? How are they to stay willfully there as a slave? And how are they to act in the midst of all of that? A very good question. Now, in application, and this is what we're going to do as we go through this, keep in mind the correct interpretation, but the application, we're going to look, and where we see the word slave, we are going to look at employee. We're going to make application an employee. Now, not that we that are employees are slaves, we're not to be that, but yet it relates to us in the principles that are being taught here. And when we see master, then that is to relate to us that we understand that that is the employer and the responsibilities that we see for the employer. So join with me, verse 5, Ephesians chapter 6, and then we see bondservants, or in application, employees. Be obedient to those who are your masters or your employers according to the flesh. In other words, not that they're necessarily fleshly people, but in life and in all that we do. So he comes out and says, this is what we are to do. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. Then from this point in verse 5 to the end of verse 8, he lists 10 ways that we are to be good employees. Notice, with fear and trembling. What does that mean? We'll talk about that. That's the first two. In sincerity of heart, number 3. Today we are to do it as unto Christ, number 4. Number 5 in verse 6, not with eye service, as men pleasers. What does that mean, as we are employees? Number 6, but as bondservants of Christ. Number 7, doing the will of God from the heart. Number 8, verse 7, with goodwill doing service. And then number 9, as to the Lord. We come back to that, as to Christ in verse 5. But again, a reminder, as to the Lord and not to men is the emphasis that we see here. Then in verse 10, or it's verse 8, we see the 10th aspect here of what we are to do as employees, knowing that whatever good anyone does, we are to know this, we will receive the same from the Lord. Oh, so it is true in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, that we will reap what we sow. He's saying, yes, that is true. Now, notice he goes in verse 8, whether he is slave or free, wherever you are, you need to understand these principles will govern you. Then he switches, as we see in verse 9, to the masters, but in application, the employees. And look what he does immediately. To the same, and you masters do the same things to them. In other words, the 10 things we saw concerning the employee, the employer, because he has a greater responsibility, a high calling upon his life in that way, then he is to treat his employees just as the employees are to respond to the employer. Very, very important. Very important that it would work that way. Then he goes on and he adds two more things for the employer, knowing that your own master also is in heaven. Excuse me, giving up threatening that you see there, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. We will reap what we sow. God is not mocked. Do not be deceived. And so he just says that very simple thing, but yet it's a very, very important teaching for us today. Today we can have masters or we can have employers that are not Christian and they don't treat us right. Today in your work, wherever you work, you may not be allowed to bring a Bible and put it on your desk. Is that fair? No, it's not. But in this world, then we are subject to things of the world, and that's not fair, but we have to decide and we have to look at using that as an example. Well, I want to bring my Bible. Is it a good thing to bring my Bible? Absolutely. I search through my heart and find that my motive, why I want to bring my Bible is and put it there is a good motive in all that. But they're telling me that I can't bring my Bible. Is that fair? Well, in my way of looking at it, I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's what God would intend. But how are we to respond to that? So often what we do is important, but as important is how we do what we do. So we look at that and we say, okay, now I believe that God's called me to this work, to be here, but yet this is something that I don't agree with. And then how do I do what I do, again, would be very critical at that point. You have a decision. You're free. You can go anywhere you want. You can work anywhere you want, in a sense. You can go, and as long as that door is open, you can be part of that situation. So then you have a decision. Am I to stay here or am I not to stay here? I might need to stay here because of financial. I've got retirement. I've got the correct insurance, but I sure don't like the policies and all that. So you have a hard decision at that point. And so if they're not asking you to do something other than what the Lord would ask you to do, then you have a decision. Am I to stay here? Do I want to do that? I want my Bible. I want my Bible there on my desk and all. Again, using that as an example. You have to decide, and you have a right to decide, but how you do that is critical. Now, if you stay in that situation, then you look at this, and it tells you some of the ways how we are to stay in that, in that situation. And it's important that we be good witnesses. So here we find in verse 5 three aspects that we how we're to handle ourselves as employees. First one, you notice, it says with fear. Now, what does that mean? I believe it points to having respect. Even though that person is not a godly person, they're not doing exactly as we would want them to do, or as Jesus, if he was my employer, I see that I am supposed to be respectful to that person. The things that I say, the things that I do, I can come to this point and I can just say, well, if he's going to be that way, well, I'm going to only give him 7 hours instead of an 8-hour thing. I'm just going to play around somehow. Is that godly? No, we don't do that. We have an awesome respect. We have a respect for that person. And if that we get paid for 8 hours, we give him 8 hours of work. We really do. He's going to go through here and he's going to talk about how we do that. Having respect for them is a fear, and have an eager concern, that's the trembling, to please them. And even if a person is unsaved, even if that person is unjust, do we have an eager concern to please them in a godly sense so they might accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior? And we never know in the situations that we are in why God has us in those situations. And so employee-employer relationship becomes difficult, but he may have called us into that situation because of reasons we do not know. And so we are to give them our undivided attention. Our undivided attention. Fear and trembling are to be the mark of the Christian workman, but not the fear of a superior, nor the trembling that something unpleasant might happen. The Christian worker is to fear, in other words, to respect, to honor, and tremble, that is, with integrity before God, lest he perform some irresponsible work and bring reproach upon his name. That's all that Paul's saying, but it is so important that we understand that. With fear and with trembling. In other words, an eager concern to please God in all that we do. And notice there in verse 5, the third thing we see is as unto Christ. And we go, naturally so. An employee is to respect and be eager to serve his employer as he would if the Lord Jesus was his employer. Obviously, if God is our employer, then becomes easier because he always does everything right. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1, Paul says, let as many bondservants, that would be employees, as are under the yoke, they're employed by people, count their own masters, employers, worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. Again, very, very important. That employer, if he's never been to church, if he's never had somebody witness to him or her, then what is our witness like? And do we bring a godly witness? That's all that Paul is saying there. He moves on in chapter 6 here. Then he says, in sincerity of heart. That's a wonderful principle. It really is. It means this: with purpose and focused attention, we are to be sincere and without any pretense or hypocrisy or slackness of what we do. It's a very diligent thing that Paul is expressing that we are to be. The Christian worker is a good workman whose heart is single-minded and focused upon doing an excellent and thorough job. Not just an excellent job, but a thorough job in all that we do. And notice why this is to be true, because we are to do as all that we do as unto the Lord. Again, singleness of heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, Paul said, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's." Which are the Lord's. Then he goes on in verse 6 and he says, "Employees are to obey their employers, not with eye service as men pleasers." Boy, circle this one, put stars in there. This is very important. The motive of what we do and why we do what we do is very, very important. Whatever Christians do, they should do it for the glory of God. He is not to work just when the boss is looking. Here comes the boss. Pick up that pen. There goes the boss. Put it down. No, we do it because the Lord is looking. It's very important to do that. While it may be important to want to please the ones for whom we work for, it is much more important to realize that Jesus is always aware of what we are doing, and we are to do whatever, everything in order to be pleasing to Him. Very important. I worked in San Diego under a pastor named Mike McIntosh. What a great guy. Today we are friends, and I love him. But I was in an employee relationship, and it wasn't always the easiest. Why? Because I was a ding-a-ling. No, that's probably true. It's probably true. Thanks, Ron. I really appreciate that. Who asked you to sit up front? Usually you're way back there. Because Mike was different than me. He was an evening person. I'm a morning person. You know, we would travel together, and at 11 o'clock, he's ready to play the game called Risk. Now, that is not a short game, you know, and he's ready to go. And I'm past 10 o'clock. I'm ready. I'm already ready for bed to go to sleep. And he wants to, what? You want to do what? And so then I need to get up early in the morning because I'm going to just get up anyway early in that. And, it just created different ways of doing things. He was very creative and very creative in his mind. Very creative. I'm not that I can't create, but anyway, I'm very methodical, administrative gift and all of those things. So, I see these things I see and I understand and all of that. Mike doesn't see those things, and it created different things, but I learned very quickly how to respond to those things. I learned it by watching people that bounced off of him in that way. And so it's important that we understand the situation we're in and we follow the Lord, not with eye service as men pleasers, but we do everything as unto the Lord. Get it? It's very important we understand that. When a man or woman returns home from a day's work, there's only one question to ask. Has she pleased the Lord? And that's what Paul's saying right there. Have you pleased the Lord in everything that you've done in this situation at work? Employers, we go on into verse 6, are to obey their employees are to obey their employers as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God. Notice what it says, from the heart. What is our heart? Are we struggling inside of our heart? And we're doing it just try to please a person, or are we doing it with a heart that wants to please the Lord? There's a world of difference, is there not? I find when I do it as unto the Lord, my marriage, I do it as unto the Lord, my relationships with people as unto the Lord, that it goes a lot easier, and I find an empowerment that way. It's the same way with an employee and an employer relationship. From the heart as bondservants means with interest and energy. Isn't that an interesting phrase? He's saying with interest. Are you really interested in what you do? Do you have energy? Because if you're interested in what you do, you'll find an energy that is there. Very important that we would have that. If you don't have an interest in what you're doing, if you can change, then change. and find that thing. That's why I always encourage people. People will come to me and they'll say, hey, Bill, how can I serve? And I go, man, I really want you to serve. I really do. But they'll ask, and they'll say, great, I want to serve. What should I do? And I'll go, well, I don't know what you should do. I can tell you this door, you can walk through this and you can through that, because I don't know what is truly in their hearts and what is their interest. Usually our interest is what we're doing and what we get the most joy out of. And that's what Paul's saying here. The whole heart of bondservants means with interest and energy, with total dedication of one's life. And so we should dedicate ourselves to that work. When I was in San Diego, I was an assistant pastor. I honestly thought that that's all that I would be. I would die being an assistant pastor because that's what I thought. I had the attitude, I will bury my bones. Unfortunately for you guys, God changed my call, brought us here in that way. But, you know, we have this attitude, no matter what it is, I'm going to dedicate my life to it. It is the opposite of routineness, and it's the opposite of listlessness, of having no energy or heart for the work. The Christian workman must always remember this, even if the boss is not looking. Jesus sees what kind of work we are doing. We must always work as if we are working directly for Jesus, because in a very sense, we are. That's who we work for. That's who I get up for, don't you guys? I get up, get the day going. Got an opportunity. Lord, what do you have today? I never know what he's going to do. And I can't believe that I get a privilege of walking with him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says this, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. All that we do it as unto the Lord. Paul moves on here, and we see in verse 7, we find two more are found here, where he says, with goodwill, doing service as unto the Lord, not to men. Similar things here, but with goodwill may be translated to give your service wholehearted and cheerfully. Do you show an attitude of cheerfulness, or do you walk around baptized in lemon juice? Okay? Do you do that in your workplace? As soon as you come in there, I can't believe I'm here. I can't, you know, and all of a sudden you find things wrong, you know, and this person's doing this wrong, and that person's doing this wrong. And a lot of times it's our attitude. When I was in the military, I was with a guy who became my best friend, and he fought the military, and I started fighting the military, and I hated it. And it was all my attitude. You know, it was all my attitude. There was another guy, Pat Griggs, and Pat was a different guy. He was about 6'6" and a big guy, really big guy and everything. And everything seemed to go right with him. And one time I figured out, because he had a great attitude. You know, it was the same company commander, same division of the company that we were in and all that. But he had this great attitude, and he was a whole different thing. But I and my buddy there, we fought everything in that way. Not to be done, not to do that. That we see there. We are to do things wholeheartedly and cheerfully. When you remember that these words were addressed to slaves, they seem almost unfair, but we must always remember that we as Christians are always involved with things that can have eternal implications. Again, as a Christian, our drive and energy of this life must be to work as the servants of Jesus Christ and not to men. 1 Corinthians 15, 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so we do all that we do. That's what Paul's simply saying here. And then we see other principle here in verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same for the Lord. The Lord is going to give the Christian workman exactly what he labors for, no more or no less. Now, God may be kind. He could give us more where we're not deserving, and I thank the Lord that he does that. But normally, we will reap what we sow. True? It's a principle. God's not going to be mocked, you know? Let's not be deceived. He's going to reward us according to, a lot of times, what we do, regardless of our profession, regardless of our wealth, regardless of our position, regardless of our poverty. He's going to reward us according in our life to that which we do as unto him. If he has been working, the employee has been working for man or self, he will receive no spiritual reward. If the employee has been sometimes slack and sometimes diligent, then he is going to receive a piecemeal reward. But if he has diligently worked as though he or she was working for Jesus, he or she shall be abundantly rewarded. That doesn't mean we're all going to be rich, but in the Spirit, we will have great rewards. I look forward to the day that Jesus will say this, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Tom Kendall went to be with the Lord. We asked you guys to pray last week, and he went to be with the Lord on Tuesday. He was excited because he felt that he was going to hear those words from the Lord. How exciting that is, that we could end our life in such a way. By the way, if you'd like to, on Tuesday, there'll be a viewing here from 10 to 1, and then at 1 o'clock, there'll be a service for Tom in that way. Lastly, as we complete, look at verse 9 again, "And you, masters, employers, do the same things to them." Again, as a reminder, if we are employers, then our list becomes longer for what we are to do. Not only are we to do everything the employee does for us, but we are to go beyond that and do not only the same things, but other things Paul adds to that. We are to serve as an employer. That employer is to serve both the Lord and the employees with fear and trembling. That employer is to serve with singleness of heart, managing as unto Christ. That employer is also to serve not with eye service as men pleasers, but to serve as a servant of Jesus Christ, managing and doing the will of God from the heart. And that employer is to serve knowing that he or she is to receive a reciprocal reward for how well he or she manages the gift that has been given to them. The employer expects at least two very important things from the employee. It's all broken down into this: diligence and loyalty. The employee is to be diligent and to be loyal. That's what is expected for us as Christians, is what Paul's saying. But then the employer is to be diligent and loyal to the employee today too. Some today we have employers in our midst. You own a company, and you have that responsibility. High, high call. High call for us if we are employees. It says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 1, "Masters, give your bondservants," again, employers, "give your employees what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Again, doing everything as unto the Lord. And then Paul closes out this section there. Notice what he says: "The employee is not to threaten the employee, knowing that your master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him." Employers must guard against unwarranted threats, for employees also have a master in heaven, and God has no favorites and shows no favoritism. So these responsibilities are great. God has strong warnings for those who do not treat those that are working for them in a godly manner. In Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 13, it says, "Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by injustice, who uses his neighbor's service without wages and gives him nothing for his work." If they give us work, we're an employer, and that person gives, then they deserve a fair wage. We don't try to cut corners in that way. And listen to this strong, strong statement in Malachi chapter 3, verse 5. It says, "And I will come near you for judgment, and I will be a swift witness against," this is God speaking, "sorcerers," listen to the company here, "adulterers," "perjurers," against those who exploit wage earners, right in the midst of this, "widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts." Let's close by going to 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians, please. Chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians. Thessalonians chapter 3, please. Paul comes back then to those in Thessalonica and says this concerning this topic that we've been looking at. In verse 6, it says, "But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which we receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disobedient, disorderly among you." Look at verse 8. "Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority," Paul was saying, "but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." So it's very important what Paul's saying in Ephesians there concerning working. "For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with them, that they may be ashamed. Yet we do not count them as an enemy, but admonish them as brothers." So the word of God today admonishes us in two ways, how we are to respond as employers and how we are to respond as employees. Fair enough? Good. Next week, we begin to look at the whole armor of God.
Our journey will continue in our next broadcast. Thanks for joining us today. Journey Through the Word is a ministry of Horizon Indy in Indianapolis, Indiana. If you want more info, check us out at horizonindy.org or call 317-823-2349. Join us next time, and you'll hear the pages turn as we journey through the Word.
Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at CCBCI.org.